So with that, I'm going to get to call up our guest speaker today. Today, as you know, it's our Thanksgiving celebration service. We're going to have lunch. And today, I thought, you know, we might have a guest speaker. And so as I was praying, thinking about having a guest speaker, I reached out to Tim Gill. He's our Kids Point teacher who leads our Kids Point. And I was like, Tim, if you ever have a word, just let me know. If you think you have a message, you know, it's in your heart. And so Tim came back to me and said, hey, I've got a simple lesson for us, a message. And so Tim's going to come up and preach the word today for us. And so Tim, come on up. He's going to bring the word. That's right, yeah. So, Tim said he'll go an hour. He'll only go an hour, maybe an hour and a half if we're lucky. He's got great illustration notes. But Tim leads our Kids Point ministry and is a faithful man of God. And so, he's going to lead us in our Bible passage today and our message. So, pay attention. And after that, we will eat. But until then, Tim, it's all yours. Let me get you the mic. And, man, thanks for bringing the word. It should be on. There we go.
Okay, I'm confused. You told me I had 3 hours this morning. Okay. This is a different venue for me. Most of the time, this time of day, I'm over there in the Kids Point room. But I'm going to start the same way I do every Sunday I can in Kids Point and tell you that no one's reminded you yet today. Let me be the first to tell you that God loves you, I love you, and I'm very glad you're here. It's good when the body gathers together to worship the Lord, isn't it? Okay. Yeah, it is. Thanksgiving, right? One of the things I'm thankful for is this opportunity. A good pastor doesn't like to give up his pulpit. They understand the responsibility they have. So for Dan to do this, I greatly appreciate it and thank you for it. Can we give our pastor a round of applause and gratitude? Okay, if you look at the screen, I want to talk about Samson today. He's from the Old Testament. He's known for a lot of things. One of them is great strength. He's also known for not being a godly man. He's known for being a judge. But I want to talk about him because I believe there's some things we can learn from this not great example. Now, Samson lived around 1400 BC. He was the 12th judge of Israel, and he judged Israel for about 20 years. So that begs the first question. Before I get into it, though, I'm going to tell you something. Just like I do on Kids Point, I'm going to stop at various times and ask you guys questions. So hopefully you will not leave me hanging. You'll actually respond. But Samson was a judge. You ever thought about that? And what does that mean? So let's turn to the Word, if we could. Let's get this to work. There we go. Judges 2, chapter 11 is where we're going to start. It says, then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtaroths. And in his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of the raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them, and they were in great distress. That's not a good place to be, getting the hand of the Lord against you. But as often as the case is with us and with Israel, when things start going bad, we call upon God to rescue us. And God being merciful and kind, that's exactly what he did for the nation of Israel. Let's continue on in verse 16 of chapter 2. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. They quickly turned from the ways of their ancestors who had been obedient to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to the ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give their evil practices and stubborn ways. So, this is your chance. What do you see in that passage? What did it speak to you? They were stubborn. What else? What was that? Forgetful. Mm-hmm. What else? Absolutely. One of the things that struck me in there is that God used judges to deliver them. Today we know what a judge is. Think of Steve Jensen, the South Dakota Supreme Court judge who goes to this church. But that's not what judges were in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's easier to define something by what it is not than what it is. See, judges were not priests. They were not pastors. They were not really spiritual leaders. They were raised up by God for one purpose, and that was to deliver Israel from their enemies during the time they lived. You can almost think of more of a military leader is what they were. That was their purpose. There's a total of 12 judges that judged Israel, and Samson was the last judge. Now, in Judges chapter 13, it starts off by telling us about the state of God's chosen, the Israelites. It was not a good time for them. Chapter 13 tells us that the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Think about that for a minute. Read earlier, because of the groaning of the people, the Lord relented. In chapter 13, it took them 40 years to turn back to God. Could you imagine that? 40 years of oppression by your enemy before you're thinking, hey, maybe we're not doing something right here. The Bible goes on to tell us that Samson's father was named Manoah. Now, his mother's name was, we don't know. God in his infinite wisdom didn't put that in the word. The Bible does not tell us her name. But Manoah and his wife were childless. And one day, the woman who had become Samson's mother had a visitor. Flip to the next slide. Judges 13:3. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son." Think about that. For a woman in those days, you felt pretty worthless if you did not bear children. And all of a sudden, God appears and says, hey, guess what? Your prayers are answered. You're going to have a son. So the angel of the Lord told her that she was not to drink wine or other fermented drink. She was not to eat anything unclean. Your son's head is never to be touched by a razor. He was to be a Nazarite. This is what I think is something really cool. He was to be dedicated to God from the womb. Because she was not supposed to have any grapes, any wine, anything like that, any fermented. Stay away from all the dead animals and that kind of stuff. So Manoah's wife ran and told Manoah all about the angel of the Lord that spoke to her. So Manoah prayed. I think I've got the verse here. 13:8. Manoah prayed to the Lord, "Pardon your servant. Lord, I beg you to let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born." Parents out there, follow that example. Are you asking God how to raise your kids? Think about it. So the Bible tells us that God heard Manoah's prayer, and the angel of God came to Manoah's wife once again, but this time it was different. She ran to her husband, told him that he was here. So Manoah went with his wife and met with the angel of the Lord. Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, "Once our son is born, what is to be the rule that governs the boy's life and work?" The angel of the Lord replied as he did before, that boys be born was to be a Nazarite from the womb. I think I got the next one here. So then Manoah said, "Can you stick around for a meal?" Hospitality was a big deal in the Old Testament. This is how the angel of the Lord replied, "Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food, but if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. So in verses 19 of chapter 13, then Manoah took a young goat together with a grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As a flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. Good thing to do. They're in the presence of God. If you're truly in the presence of God, you will bow down. So then Manoah cried out, "We are doomed to die." He said to his wife, "We have seen God." Well, fortunately, Manoah's wife was a little more level-headed than her husband. She said, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted our burnt offering and given us the offering, nor told us of these things in the future." Because the child hadn't been born yet. That had to occur. They weren't going to die. So chapter 13 concludes with the birth of Samson, and he grew, and the Lord blessed him. He grows up, and the story continues in Judges chapter 14. Pick it up in verse 1 of 14. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." There's a lot wrong with that. His parents would have been appalled. What was Samson thinking? How could this good Jewish boy who was called out by God from the womb go and do something so horrible to marry what would have been called someone from the uncircumcised nation? Their mortal enemy who had been oppressing them for 40 years. How could this happen? If you know the story, continuing on in chapter 14, verse 4, his parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at this time they were ruling over Israel. Okay. So a wedding was arranged, and Samson held a feast. Philistines make a bet with Samson, and he loses the bet. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. He went down to Ascalon and struck down 30 Philistines and stripped them of their clothes and paid off his debt. And here's something that's key that happens next in verse 20. And Samson's wife was given to one of his companions who had attended the feast. So later, Samson went to the Philistine woman who he thought he had married and found out that she had been given to another. So Samson decided to get revenge. We know a lot about Samson and his incredible strength. This just astounds me. He caught 300 foxes. He tied them together in pairs by their tails and then tied torches to each pair of their tails. And he lit the torches and let the foxes loose in the grain fields of the Philistines. See, this kind of upset them. He torched their food supply, and possibly that for a couple years, because part of what they would harvest each year, they would hold back. It was the seeds they planted the next year. In one fell swoop, Samson pretty much wiped out all their food. So the Philistines didn't like that. They started sending more and more raiding parties into Philistines to try to find Samson, and they could not find him. Finally, some Israelites went to him and said, "Don't you know they rule over us? What are you doing? Why are you causing us all these problems?" Samson agreed that as long as they didn't kill him, he would be bound and taken to the Philistines. So the Israelites took him prisoner. They delivered him to the Philistines. And this is where he grabbed the jawbone of a donkey and struck down 1,000 Philistines and won a tremendous victory for Israel. Think about that. With a simple, basically, piece of bone. Now, in chapter 16, Samson's life really starts to fall apart. He spends a night with a prostitute and then later meets Delilah. Now, Delilah, his girlfriend, who he's living with, was in a league with rulers of the Philistines to find out of the secret of his strength. Not like Samson as a character, but honestly, I gotta say, he was not the brightest bulb in the bunch. 3 different times, Delilah set Samson up to be captured by the Philistines, and all 3 of her efforts failed. Now, you would have thought, after the 3rd time, he might have caught on, but he didn't. He had no idea what she's trying to do. And look here at chapter 16, verse 16. With such nagging, it's Delilah now, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So Samson told her everything, how he was a Nazarite from birth and how his head was ever shaved. He would lose his strength and on and on and on. So she put him to sleep on his lap and called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke in his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Let that sink in. He did not know that the Lord had left him. See, at this point in his life, Samson was so spiritually dull, he did not know God had left him, how the mighty had fallen. So the Philistines seized him. They gouged out his eyes. They bound him in bronze shackles and set him to grinding in grain in the prison. The mighty had fallen. Once able to take out 1,000 Philistines without a whole lot of effort, now was bound and chained and shackled and grinding grain. So now that Samson was no longer a problem for the Philistines, they made a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, to celebrate in their eyes the victory that Dagon had given them over their enemy, Samson. As they were celebrating, they had Samson brought out to the prison to make fun of him. There were nearly 3,000 Philistines at that celebration. But something happened. Let's pick it up in Judges 16, verse 28. Remember Samson's condition at this point. He's been in prison. He's been shackled. He is blind. But then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me, please. God, strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes." Samson repented, and God answered him. He pushed on 2 central pillars of the temple of Dagon, and the temple came down, killing the Philistines and Samson. And with that act, Samson killed more Philistines when he died than while he lived. So Samson's family came down and got his body, and they buried it in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel for 20 years. It's the life of Samson. So what can we learn from that? Okay. Samson was a flawed individual, but yet was still used by God for 20 years. Okay, first of all, do you agree or disagree with that statement? Okay. When you hear that statement, what do you think? What do you feel? Yeah. Hopefully it should excite you. You should be happy and secure, because we are all flawed individuals. If you're waiting to be perfect to be used by God, you will never be used by God. You've got the other Kids Point teachers here. They can tell you all the mistakes I've made in there. I'm not perfect, but I'm still striving to be used by God. That's who he uses the most. He's not done with you yet. Point number 2, Samson's source of strength was not his hair, it was God. He didn't have enough time for his hair to grow back before he took down the Temple of Dagon. In the end, Samson turned back to God and heard him and answered his prayer. It was God who strengthened him to push down the Temple of Dagon, not his hair growing back. And if you turn back to God, he will strengthen you, and he will use you as well. God was Samson's deliverer, not his hair, not his Nazarite vow. It was God. We have to remember the source of our strength is God and God alone. If you're looking to your pastor, your Kids Point leader, whoever, we're going to fail you. I guarantee it. But God never will. Number 4 is a very important one. Sin, if not repented of and dealt with, will be your downfall. Read a couple commentaries on this and came across a quote by C.H. McIntosh. I want to read it. "The lap of Delilah proved too strong for the heart of Samson, And what 1,000 Philistines could not do was done by the ensnaring influence of a single woman. Read that again. The lap of Delilah grew too strong for the heart of Samson. And what 1,000 Philistines could not do was done by the ensnaring influence of a single woman. Samson was very strong physically, but morally weak. He was not repentant, and his sin caused his downfall. Number 5, as long as you repent and turn back to God, he is the God of the second, third, fourth, or as many chances as you need. As long as you keep coming back to God, he will respond to you just like he did to Samson. Agree, disagree, tell me what you're thinking right now or feeling. Getting some head nods, which is good, but the thing about it is, the first part, as long as you repent. It wasn't until Samson was actually in the temple of Dagon that he repented and actually went back to God. All that time grinding grain, he was just miserable and blind. But when he repented, God responded. So long as you keep coming back to God, he will respond. Samson was a morally weak man and had many flaws, but yet God still used him, didn't he? So what do you think about that? Where does this leave you today? We can come and talk about this all we want, but if it doesn't have an impact on our lives, we're kind of wasting our breath. Any thoughts? Well, quiet group today. Absolutely. Yeah, you will suffer consequences of sin. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Absolutely, yeah. Some ways we are truly the master of our own destiny by what we choose to do. You know, we have control to sin or not to sin. We have control to obey or not to obey. Don't understand why, but God has given us sometimes, I think at least my own life, way too much power and too much control. Any other thoughts? Yes, Drew.
Just think of all the consequences the rest of the Israelites had to deal with because of Samson not obeying.
Absolutely. Like 40 years of oppression, right? 40 years of living under the hand of your enemies beating you down. Anything else? He still had a responsibility for what he was done, even though all those great things God had called him to do, right? Yeah. Naomi.
Kind of following that, like, even us as parents will dedicate our child to God. But I always think of Ginger's saying, our children are not going to get into heaven on the coattails of their parents either. Right. So it has a lot to do with the choices that we make.
Yes, it does. I hope this message, could you have something, Jeremy? Why not? Could have been. Yep. We all have influence. Are we going to have positive influence or negative influence? Very stubborn. Yep. He. More often than I want to admit, Kathy. But I hope this message gives you hope, because the last place you're going to turn to today, okay, there's the 5 points, but is the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Fame. You can look at verses 32 through 34. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fiery flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Look at that. Samson's mentioned in the same breath, in the same scripture, as King David and the prophet Samuel. Pretty good company, right? Again, God takes us warts and all. He takes us flaws and all and uses us as he sees fit. One of the things this pointed out to me, and I didn't write it down, but is how much am I willing to cooperate with God and what he wants to do with my life? It's a question we've got to answer every day, isn't it? Okay. So let me close this message in prayer, if I could, please. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the second, third, and fourth chance, Lord God, that just like Samson, you don't give up on us. We thank and praise you for sending your son to die for us. We thank and praise you, Lord, that when we turn, you are there to reach out as a loving father to raise us up once again, Lord God. I ask that you put this word in our hearts, that it become part of us, and we constantly be in a place where we are dealing with our sin, where we are repenting and turning to you, Lord God. And may your kingdom come and your will be done in each and every life in this building today that can hear the sound of my voice. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.